the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Tonight, moderator Dana Rodriguez flies solo. And here he is, the holy trinity of Minds Over Matter, his own, me, myself, and I, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Sunday evening, and I also hope that you can spare me an hour of your valuable time tonight. I say me because it's just me. It's just me tonight, so I see that as an opportunity, actually. I see it as an opportunity for you to give us a call if sometimes you were timed out in the last few minutes of our show. Now is the time to call because I can take as many calls as possible tonight. It's great. Our lines are open. It's a great time to call in, so please go ahead and do that with a question or answer on any number of subjects. I can't tell you that I'll get the right answer on any number of subjects, but you can call in on any number of subjects. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 841-4134, area code 415, and toll-free. Now's the time to use that toll-free number. Yes, we actually have one. 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. I'll take your questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, I guarantee no right answers, but I'll do my best. 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. David has kindly volunteered his email. If you'd like to email a question, we will do that tonight. That is David at KALW. So that's right, isn't it, David? David at KALW? Okay, there you go. And so if you want to email a question, we'll have, Steve will run it in. But in the meantime, please give me a call on the old lines, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. I can always fall back on my story about giving Ethel Merman a ride in my car, but, I hope it won't come to that. So let me I forgot to mention our email address. That would help. And, of course, tonight you're going to use David at KALW, but just to email in terms of reaching me, that would be mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral 1. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. I generally don't read them during the show. I probably won't tonight. But they all get read. So it's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And if you'd like to hear this show in terms of a live stream, you can certainly do that simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And, of course, the podcast should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight, and that will also be at kalw.org and later on iTunes and other places. So all that being said, we're going to start with a couple questions. So perhaps some of you read in the paper this week that there is only one blockbuster left in the world. The second to the last one, I should say, closed in Australia recently, and there is one left. Where in the United States is the last blockbuster store? Okay? So where is the last blockbuster store left anywhere in the world? It is in the United States. Where is it? And I did have a Blockbuster card. I probably one of the least used Blockbuster cards in history. I think I used it once. And it was only a block and a half from my house, but oh well. Anyway, so where is the last remaining Blockbuster store located in the U.S.? Okay, I'll give you one other question here. And I have plenty of questions, but I'll give you this one first, and we'll go to a call. What I have here is a list of 10 well-known supporting characters in sitcoms. So we're going to start in the 50s and then go up to the 80s, all right? So these are names of all supporting characters in famous sitcoms. So I want you to tell me which sitcoms they are from. Now, remember, they're not the stars. They're supporting characters, but they're all pretty well known. So, number one, Mrs. Matilda Trumbull. Number two, Dwayne Doberman. Number three, Uncle Tanoose. Number four, Officer Leo Schnauzer. Number five, Ernest T. Bass. Number six, Millie Helper. Number seven, Gladys Kravitz. Number eight, Dr. Alfred Bellows. Number nine, Arnold Ziffel. And number 10, probably the hardest, but it's a good one, Mrs. Lillian Bakerman. So again, these are all well-known supporting characters in TV sitcoms from the 50s through the 80s. Match them up with the correct show. Number one, Mrs. Matilda Trumbull. Number two, Dwayne Doberman. Number three, Uncle Tanoose. Number four, Officer Leo Schnauzer. Number five, Ernest T. Bass. Number six, Millie Helper. Number seven, Gladys Kravitz. Number eight, Dr. Alfred Bellows. Number nine, Arnold Ziffel. Number 10, Mrs. Lillian Bakerman. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed, how are you?
Hi, Ed.
Very good. So Uncle Tanoose, of course, the great Make Room for Daddy.
Very good. Danny Thomas Show. Very good.
And I also like to put a plug for Danny Thomas. That man was very gifted. Nobody knows, but he was a executive producer of a lot of our beautiful comedies, Andy Griffiths, and so many others.
Right.
He actually was. Yeah, he was a great talented one. He also Lebanese. So, okay. So, a few weeks ago, you mentioned that the Mesopotamian calendar was the oldest. It's not true. The Egyptian calendar, which today is 6,259 years old, is over 2,000 older than the Mesopotamian calendar. Not just, but I'm not going to ask any question, but I have very, very good movie recommendation.
All right.
It's really a soap opera. It is almost, it's 30 series. It has English subtitle. The name of it, Hartel Yehud, that is translated into the Jewish Quarter. It's a Jew, I mean, an Egyptian series. And it is just beautiful. It shows a great life, Jewish Egyptians.
All right.
Cairo alone had over 100,000 people before 1948. Everybody, you must watch it. I have it listed on my Facebook page at the top. Hart El Yehud is beautiful. Beautiful acting, beautiful actresses, beautiful actors. Please, everybody, watch it. It is a beautiful. Also show you how we're all the same people. We really are. Thank you very much. Always a good show.
Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there, Colin in Oakland.
Hi, Colin.
I actually have I have an answer and a question.
Okay.
I think, but it seems to me Gladys Kravitz was from Bewitched.
That is correct. She was the neighbor, right.
The nosy neighbor.
Nosy neighbor.
And I have a question to, an answer to which I don't have. I'm trying to, I have a brain worm of a movie ending that I recall seeing a number of years ago. I think it was a mid to late 70s, possibly early 80s film. I'm thinking more 70s. And the last scene was of the male protagonist walking down a street, I think in L.A., of parked cars, smashing the windshields of each one as he went. And as the camera pulls back, it just shows this huge line of cars parked along the sidewalk, along the curb. I'm thinking it was someone like George Segal or someone of that type as the main character, but I cannot place the movie, and I was hoping someone out there might be able to help me.
It doesn't ring a bell with me, but then the late 70s, early 80s is not my strongest area of expertise in movies. But what I can do is I can leave it out, and we'll see if anybody calls in with a
Can pick up on that. And on the supporting actors, was that list in chronological order?
It was, basically, yeah. Now, the supporting actors in TV shows, you mean, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes, it's in basically chronological order.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Connie in Florida. I didn't hear, did you get an answer to the Blockbuster call?
We have not yet, no.
Oh, it's Alaska.
It is not Alaska, no.
Oh, I thought that's what I heard on NPR. Sorry.
Nope, it's not Alaska.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. And if you'd like to join us here, you can try to get in here. We might have one line open, and that is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. You don't have to answer my questions if you have one of your own. 866-798-8255. That is our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. It's just me tonight, so we can take as many calls as possible. I hope you're enjoying the show, and give us a call. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
All right, I'm going to just clean up on these TV shows.
Uh-oh.
Because who is the nanny on I Love Lucy, next-door neighbor?
I know it's unkind, but I think I'm going to limit you to two just so we can give other people a chance to answer. So just pick out two.
All right, then I'm going to go for the hardest one,
okay.
Which was the last one, and she was in group therapy on the Bob Newhart
show. I'm glad you got that. She was one of my favorite characters on Bob Newhart, Mrs. Lillian Bakerman. She was the one that was always knitting.
Yes.
In the therapy group. Yes, very good.
And I had Alaska for Blockbuster, but I'll go with Montana now.
It is not Montana.
All right, I have a question.
Okay.
And then I'll leave it with the producer. Paul McCartney's solo album, the first one post-Beatles, he did it before the Beatles broke up, shared a trait with Jerry Garcia's first solo album.
Hmm. Is it something on the album cover, or is it in the music itself? In the production. Not necessarily the music, but the production of the album?
That's correct.
Oh. Was it engineered at the same place?
I doubt it. Jerry at Apple Records?
No. Okay, that's a good point. Liner notes, maybe?
No.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it out. So
it's technical.
Ask the question once more for everybody.
Paul McCartney's first solo album shared a unique thing with the Jerry Garcia's first solo album.
Okay.
Regarding the production of the album.
All right, we're going to put you on hold now and you can give the answer, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. It's just me tonight, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. So all you have to do is call up. If you got a question or you couldn't get through at some earlier show, now's the time. It's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You can also use David Latulipe's email. We'll take some of those. And David at KALW.org. Let's see. Captain, okay, so we did get an email from Heather, and Heather Hernandez. She's a longtime listener to the show. Hi, Heather. And what is Captain Crunch's full name? You know, I think I've heard that before. And what is the name of the ship? What is Captain Crunch's full name, and what is the name of his ship? Captain Crunch's full name. I have to work on that Captain Crunch's full name, because I think I have heard that. It's a long name, if I recall. All right, let me work on that. So what is Captain Crunch's full name, and what is the name of his ship? All right, thank you, Evan. Okay, I'll give you a movie question here. Fred Astaire, I was looking at the list of Fred Astaire's films the other day. That's what I do in my spare time. And Fred Astaire danced with four women who won the Academy Award for Best Actress. Not necessarily for the movie that they danced with Fred Astaire in, but different films. So once more, Fred Astaire danced with four women in films that won the Academy Award for Best Actress. Who are they? Okay. Who are the four? And what did they, what were the films that they danced with Fred Astaire in? And what did they win the Best Actress Academy Award for? So once more, Fred Astaire danced with four women who won the Academy Award as Best Actress. And the other questions are, where is the last remaining Blockbuster store located anywhere in the world? Okay. It is in the United States. And I still have Many of the supporting characters for TV shows left, so what I'm asking you to do is tell me the name of the show these supporting TV characters were on. They're all sitcoms. So the ones we have left are Mrs. Matilda Trumbull, Dwayne Doberman, Officer Leo Schnauzer, Ernest T. Bass, Millie Helper, Dr. Alfred Bellows, and Arnold Ziffel. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. This is Paul in El Cerrito.
Hi, Paul.
And I know at least one of the TV characters for sure, and that's the thoroughly charming pig is Arnold Ziffel in Green Acres.
That's right. Mr. and Mrs. Ziffel adopted a pig and made it their son, Arnold Ziffel.
And that starred Eddie. What were the stars of that? Eddie
Albert and Ava Gabor.
Ava Gabor.
And I still think Green Acres was possibly the most surreal show ever on television.
So. Yeah. In high school, we used to get stoned and watch that.
Well, you didn't even have to be stoned to watch it. And it was such a weird show.
And let me try, is a Blockbuster, is it located in Southern California?
It is not.
Okay. I thought I saw one there, but it must have been abandoned. Anyway, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Dana.
Hi.
This is Pun from the Painted Turtle.
Hi.
Excuse the cold. I hope I don't get it to you over the phone.
I hope not, too.
There's a whole bunch of connections here. This is amazing what you've done. Because Dwayne Doberman was portrayed by the brilliant pudding-faced Maurice Gosfield on what was first called You'll Never Get Rich and then was called The Phil Silvers Show.
Yes, possibly.
By the Danny Thomas Show originally was Make Room for Daddy,
right.
But that I'm sure you knew. And Al Lewis, and here's the connection, Al Lewis portrayed Leo Schnauzer, and what's the connection is that both Car 54, Where Are You?, and The Phil Silvers Show were both created and pretty much written by Nat Hiken,
right.
Who used that same, I guess you could say, repertoire company in both of those shows.
I read a book about Nat Hiken not too long ago, a biography of him. It was very interesting. He was a very bright guy.
Very bright. And here's something that your listeners may not know, but it was shot in the Bronx, in a studio in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And at first, the police car, at those times, the New York City police cars were green and white, and the actors were often badgered by citizens who thought they were approaching real police officers. So in subsequent years, they painted the car red and white, and the red and the green read the same way. It was a dark green, read the same way in black and white television.
Okay.
That's a little piece of information. But you also talked about Arnold Ziffel and Green Acres, G-A. The initials G-A are the answer to my first question. I have the list of the five television medical dramas that have recorded the most episodes. So I'm saying the longest running, not in terms of years, but most episodes, because years ago, you may remember there were many more episodes that were done each year. So GA is in first place, and I assume you can figure out that that's Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
But I have the other four in order, medical dramas with the most episodes on television.
Well, ER?
That's number two. Well done.
Let's see. So it's not necessarily... Well, it has something to do with how many years they ran.
To a degree, but I would guess one of these that I'm looking at, which I think I was a teenager or close to it. So it's 50 years ago one of these debuted.
So it could be Dr. Kildare or...
That's it. Wow. Well done. Now, I was going to give you the based on a movie clue, but
would you count Marcus Welby, M.D.?
Marcus Welby is number five, so now you only have to get one more to get a full house.
Okay, so how old is the remaining show?
You only need to get one more to get a full house.
How old is the remaining show? Yeah, okay, I got it.
Okay,
oh, house. I'm sorry.
Show.
I was
and
too
I'll leave
dense
you with
there.
This mystery.
House.
House, yes. So it's Grey's Anatomy, ER, Dr. Kildare, House, Marcus Welby, and on a different note, March 4th, 1974, People Magazine, then known as People Weekly, published its very first issue, and who was on the cover.
To go back to Car 54 just for a minute, because it's just something I remembered, that the character of Officer Leo Schnauzer, who was played by Al Lewis from The Monsters,
right.
The joke about him is that he had five sisters, and he was the pretty one. So
I wouldn't be surprised. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Charlotte Ray, and she talked about Joey Ross, which is not stuff we're going to talk about on the radio.
Yeah,
but I'll just say that she was a delightfully talented woman who had a career that spanned decades, and we only lost her, I think, last year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
In her 90s. So just to leave you with a mystery, the face on the first cover of People magazine, which then specifically was called People Weekly, but it is the same magazine.
All right. Thank you very much.
And would you like me to leave that with you?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Thank you very much for a great show.
Thank you. I'll put you on hold. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Our two numbers to join us here are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. It's just me tonight, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, so we can take as many calls as possible. So please feel free to do that. I can't guarantee I'm going to answer every single question, but I'll do my best. Hopefully it'll be someplace in some area that I know reasonably well. So history, geography, film, that sort of thing. And, I forgot to mention that you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. It's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Hi. And pretty much all of our supporting actors have been taken. But I think Dr. Bellows was in I Dream of Jeannie.
That's correct. Dr. Bellows. Yay. Dr. Alfred Bellows. Good job.
That's the last one we have left.
Yeah.
So since you're solo tonight, I will ask you a presidential question.
Okay, good.
Who was the only president upon whose death the nation's flag did not fly at half staff?
Oh, what a good question. I'm making a semi-educated guess that it is John Tyler.
That is a very educated guess.
Because John Tyler died while serving in the Confederate Congress. I think it was 1862.
Exactly.
And, of course, being considered a traitor, they would not lower the American flag for him.
And second presidential question,
mm-hmm.
Which president had the most children? 15.
And that is also John Tyler.
That is also his accidency.
Right. So he had two families, I believe, all in all. To see, his first wife died, but he had children with his first wife, and then his second wife, who he married while he was in office, I think, had many children with her. I think one of them lived. One of them lived well, very well into the 20th century.
Mm, wow. Well, you're way ahead of me, so two bells for you, Dana.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good night, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, let me give you another question here. This is a question from my thanks to Tony Watkins from New York. He listens to the show. He hasn't called in, but he does listen, and he sent me this question. I appreciate it very much. What famous, and this is a very famous, what very famous 19th century woman was named after the city in which she was born? What very famous 19th century woman, the first of her kind, not the first woman, but the first to do what she did in her life, was named after the city in which she was born? So thank you, Tony, from New York. Who is that? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's David from Berkeley.
Hi, David.
You have one supporting actor left, I believe.
No,
Millie
Helper? I have three.
Okay, well, I know Millie Helper. That's Laura Petrie's BFF.
That's right.
The Van Dyke Show.
Very good. Excellent.
And one other answer to the Jerry Garcia and Paul McCartney albums. I believe that both of them played all the instruments on both of those.
That is correct, I am being told.
All right.
Very good.
All right, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
So the old movies with Fred Astaire.
Mm-hmm.
I only come up with three of them. Joan Fontaine.
This is like putting food out for a raccoon underneath the house, and then they come and they, you know.
So Joan Fontaine, Damsel in Distress?
Yes. Excellent. Good. But what did she?
Hepburn for
what did Joan Fontaine win her Oscar for?
Not Rebecca, Suspicion.
Suspicion. Very good. Okay. Go ahead.
And Audrey Hepburn for Funny Face.
Excellent.
And now, the Ginger Rogers things, I can't come up with more names than flying down to Rio and Roberta.
Oh, no. That's, you don't have to, you don't have to say
I don't
that.
Have to have the names?
You don't have to have those names. But what did she win the Academy Award for?
Kitty Foyle.
Kitty Foyle, right.
Yeah. But now I will be tending to find out who that fourth one is.
Yes. The fourth one is the most unusual and the most interesting in some ways.
It's not Betty Davis.
It is not Betty. It is not Betty Davis. I'd like to have seen that, though.
Okay, well, I'm hanging in there.
All right, thanks, Thomas. Bye bye. And we have a line open right now. Well, we did have a line open, but hold down, write down those numbers and give us a call. Anyway, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Okay, I have a long kind of involved question I've been saving for a long time, and this seems like a good opportunity to use it. So I'm going to get it for you. So this is a study done at MIT a couple of years ago, and they were studying what the average person forgets on an average during, or excuse me, often basis during the day. So according to a study done at MIT, the average person forgets four things a day. And I guess I don't know if I'm an average person or not, but I'm probably on this list someplace. So according to a study done at MIT, the average person forgets four things a day. These are the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis. So I have a list of the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis for the average person in the U.S., so I want you to guess what they are. I guarantee you that just about all of these have happened to me. So according to a study done at MIT, the average person forgets four things a day. And this list are the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis. So see what you can come up with for that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Karen from Oakland.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, So, Dr. Bellows, I got scooped.
That's okay. Give you a bell.
Jerry Garcia and Paul McCartney, I knew. I'm wondering if the blockbuster, I think I read it, is Oregon?
It is in Oregon. Where is it in Oregon? You there? We lose you? No? Oh, okay. Well, we established it's in Oregon, so see if you can come up with the town.
Is it Portland?
Not Portland. It's more rural.
Is it Bend?
It is Bend. Very good.
Bend.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yes, the last blockbuster in the world is located in Bend, Oregon.
And then for something you forget, a person would forget, I'm saying your keys.
That is number two. Very good.
Okay. And I'll let everybody else guess the rest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, I just got taken on the blockbuster one.
Oh.
But I'll guess, how about let's see, 19th century woman, city in which born, I'll take some wild guesses. It's not Winona Ryder or anything.
Yeah, no, not that.
Not Enid Blyton?
No, it is not that.
I don't think she was.
It's the first name. The first name we're talking about, not the last name.
Oh, Eden. Enid. Enid is a town in Oklahoma.
That's true.
But I don't
okay.
think she was yeah. from there. All right. Captain Crunch's full name, is it Cornelius Crunch?
I think you're right. That sounds kind of familiar. I'm going to give you a small bell because I can't verify that yet.
Oh, excellent.
No, it's not. Okay. It's not. I'm sorry. Take
it's
that
not?
Bell away.
All right.
All right. Sorry.
Can't unring that bell.
No.
Well, shoot, I think I got taken on all the other things, so I'll make some commentary. Tyler, you mentioned John Tyler. His grandson is still alive.
Oh, I knew that. Okay.
I know. I remember seeing an interview with him on CBS Sunday Morning. At least he was alive last year or the year before.
Excellent.
Which I thought was interesting. And McCartney's first album, just a little trivia thing, one of the notable things about it is that it was not recorded at Apple Studios. It was recorded in his house. And he didn't have a separate studio. He just recorded it in like the bathroom because he liked the acoustics. And let's see, Green Acres. You mentioned that. Can you tell me what do you know? That was the favorite show of what sitcom character?
Huh. So was this while Green Acres was actually in first run?
No, this was in the much later in the 90s.
Oh. So is it a big show like a Friends or a Seinfeld or something?
The same network. It probably wasn't quite as big, though the people in it were definitely well-known.
Hmm. Green Acres. Hmm. No, I don't know.
It had one star who famously died during the show.
Oh. Suddenly Susan?
No.
I think somebody died on that show. Famously died. Huh.
Famously killed by his wife.
Oh, Phil Hartman. Oh, radio.
News radio.
News radio, yes.
Very good, yeah. Excellent sitcom. If you,
whose character was that the favorite show of?
Oh, Dave Nelson, the Dave Foley.
Oh.
From Kids in the Hall. There's a number of episodes where he's actually watching Green Acres and mentions how much he loves Green Acres.
So it's such a weird show. I can see how people could have affection for it. I do.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned Blockbuster was the last one. I've got a couple of other last locations. So there's one Howard Johnson's.
If I remember reading about that, it's in, is it upstate New York?
It is, yeah, Lake George,
right.
New York. Very good. And there is one, believe it or not, a Sambo's. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I remember Sambo's. I think when I was in college, I used to occasionally eat there. Where would that be? Huh. Is it west of the Mississippi?
It is.
Not Southern California, is it?
It is.
Okay. Well, of course, I'd just be guessing. Around.
I'll just keep it out there.
Right.
It's Santa Barbara.
Barbara seems
like... actually the location of the first Sam.
Oh, is that true? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's run by the grandson of the founder, of one of the founders of Sambo's.
It's interesting that such a liberal town as Santa Barbara would have that.
Well, actually, and the name apparently is a portmanteau of the two founders were Sam somebody, and the last name of the second founder was started with a bow.
Well, that's the story they're sticking to anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So.
And one other, since Captain Crunch, I was wondering if you know Captain Crunch was also the alias of kind of a famous underground person. Wondering if you know about that.
Underground.
Or can say, yeah, kind of an underground figure. And I don't know the person's name, but he was very famous for kind of hacking.
Oh, I see what you mean. No, I don't.
Hacking
know.
A specific. He was a. He found that there was a whistle, and that was in Captain Crunch that was given away in like 1969 or 70. And if you blew the whistle into the phones at that time, he was able to figure out how to kind of hack the phone system and get free long distance.
Oh, I wish I'd known that.
So according to that, the tone of the whistle was the way they processed phone calls at the time. And that tone was at the proper frequency to be able to manipulate the telephone system.
David was wondering if it was Steve Wozniak, but I guess not.
No, yeah. It's called phone freaking, PHREAKING.
Mm.
Anyway, no bells again this week, really. So thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great show. Bye.
Bye-bye. And if you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Now seems like a decent time to go through the questions that we have left over here. What famous, very famous, 19th century woman was named after the city in which she was born? And I'm talking about first name. What famous 19th century woman was named after the city in which she was born? And that question was sent by Tony Watkins in New York. And Fred Astaire danced with four women who won the Academy Award as Best Actress. So far, we have three of them. That's Ginger Rogers, Joan Fontaine, and Audrey Hepburn. Who's the last one on that list? And I asked you to name the show in which these supporting sitcom characters were on. The ones we have left are Mrs. Matilda Trumbull, Ernest T. Bass, and I guess it's just those two. So Mrs. Matilda Trumbull and Ernest T. Bass. What sitcoms were those supporting characters on? And according to a study done at MIT, the average person forgets four things a day. What are the 10, according to what they found in their survey, what are the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis? So far we have misplaced keys. I've certainly done that. So what are the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis? Not Captain Crunch. Oh, yeah, Captain Crunch. And what is, this is from Heather, what is Captain Crunch's full name? And what is the name of his ship? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Okay. So I wanted to know, is it Florence Nightingale who was named after Florence?
You're absolutely right. Florence Nightingale. She was born in Florence, Italy. Excellent.
Okay. And then we've got Ernest T. Bass. He was a wild man who lived in North... Anyway, he was on the Andy Griffith Show.
You're right. He was the wild man who occasionally turned up on the Andy Griffith Show. Very good.
And Matilda Trumbull was the upstairs neighbor who babysat little Ricky on I Love Lucy.
That's right, Mrs. Trumbull from I Love Lucy. Excellent. Good job.
And that is all I know?
Well, you know a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. I'll give you another question here. According to statistics, what is the single most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe? According to statistics, what is the single most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe? 15 million people visited this attraction last year. So once more, according to statistics, what is the single most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe? 15 million people visited last year. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Most visited tourist spot, I would say Disney Paris.
It is not Disney Paris.
Okay, that was just a guess. And I thought there was some irony in that. And you're doing a great job without that panel to slow you down.
I know.
And I didn't get the Just Wonder Women, but I was going to say Gene Kelly. An honorary Academy Award.
That's you make an excellent point. But I did in the question, I did say four women. So
you did say. And then I was going to say Judy Garland, who got an award, a Juvenile Academy Award.
You know, I didn't have that down on the list, but I'll give you a bell for that because
not
she did win.
Oh, I get a bell. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
And you've got to be born before 1950 to know the answer to this, okay? Mm. The first interactive TV show on a screen without, before mouses, before a touchscreen, I played it.
Hmm. When you say interactive TV show, what do you mean by that? So something that you
well,
actually...
might give it away.
Well, I wasn't born before 1950, but interactive TV show. You don't mean a studio audience or...
No, at home.
At home.
This can tell if you're born before 1950.
Right.
If anyone in your eyes... I know Lori would have gotten this, I think.
Was it a children's show?
Yes.
Okay. And so...
Your audience over 50 knows the answer.
It wasn't something on Captain Kangaroo, was it? Tom Turek?
No, not Captain Kangaroo. I would say before Captain Kangaroo.
Before Captain Kangaroo?
1953 to 1957.
So how about Crusader Rabbit?
No, no, I don't think that was interactive. This you actually interacted with your TV.
Okay. No, I don't know.
Okay, all right, I get a bell for this. Winky Dink and You.
Oh, okay.
You got a screen, you got some kind of vinyl you put over the TV, and you drew on your TV set in order to, like, build a bridge to help these cartoon characters get across.
Well, your parents must have loved you for that.
Well, no, you put something on it. I'm sure people did it without this on it. But it's like a transparent vinyl you put on your TV. You'd send in for it. I think it cost $5 or $6.
Wow.
And the voice of Winky Dink was by the famous character actor who played the voice of Betty Boop and Olive Oil.
Oh, Mae Questel?
Who would that? That's it. You got it.
All right.
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. And next call. Hi, you're on Mesa Planner.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Brad in Hayes Valley.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, you know, I've never heard you miss a presidential trivia question, so I'm going to try it with you.
Oh, great. This will be the first time now. Here we go.
Okay, three presidents in slavery, three different presidents. Who was the last, and I'll give you all three, and you can rapidly give me the answers. Who was the last president to own slaves while in office?
Okay, go ahead.
And who was the last president to use some of his slaves as servants in the White House while he was president?
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, who was the last president who at some time in his life owned slaves? The very last president who owned a slave.
The one I can think of for the last question number three, the last president who in the United States history who actually owned slaves at some point was Grant, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, his father-in-law was a slaveholder in Missouri, and he gave him a slave, and the next day he took it down and freed him. Took it down to the courthouse and freed him.
Let's see. Now, the last president to own slaves while in office.
Right.
So, while in office. So, I don't think it would be, excuse me. Buchanan, I don't know. Pierce, no. Fillmore, no. How about Zachary Taylor?
Yes. God, you're good. You're good. All right, the last one, president. You knew that. You were just messing with me.
I had to go backwards. That's all.
The last president who used some of his own slaves as servants while he was in the White House.
Well, that's the hardest one of the bunch.
It is, I think.
Not Donald Trump. that's what David thinks. Okay. Well, there's a book that just has come out about Mrs. Polk, James Polk's.
That's it. You got it.
So
I surrender.
All right.
James K. Polk has those ways. Thank you. It's a great show. Bye.
Oh, thank you. Bye bye. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi, Ron in San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
For the fourth actress with a stare, is that Rita Hayworth?
It's not Rita Hayworth. I like Rita Hayworth, but she never won an Academy Award. So it has to be an actress that won the Academy Award for
Best
Actress.
And for Captain Crunch, is his name Horatio Hornblower?
Is that right? Horatio? No. Yes?
No?
So it's Horatio. Horatio is correct, isn't it? Yeah, Horatio is correct. So, so there's another word. Okay.
I have a real quick question on Eddie Albert.
Mm-hmm.
In what work did he make his opera debut?
Oh, that's interesting.
And where?
So was this a non-singing role or a singing role?
It's a singing role, but a very small singing role.
Was he the jailer in...
No.
Okay.
Fledermaus, no.
Let's see. Where was this... where did he make his debut? In what location was the opera?
San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And it was on the advice of Luciano Pavarotti.
Oh, Gosh, you know, it seems like I may have read this at some point. It's a classic opera, isn't it?
Yes. It actually was mentioned a couple of weeks ago in one of your opera questions with Joshua Kosman.
Is it either Gilbert or Sullivan or Puccini?
It's one of those, yes.
I'll try Gilbert and Sullivan first.
Wrong.
Okay. All right, Puccini then. All right. Is it Gianni?
No.
No? Okay. Then what would be Girl of the Golden West?
No.
Well, I'm just guessing. No. So
yeah, you're great for all the Puccini operas. Okay, I'll just... he, on the advice of Luciano Pavarotti, sang the minor but pivotal role of the Emperor Altum in Turandot.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Right, I did mention.
And I think Linda Kelm was the Turandot that year.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Thank
great
you very
show.
Much. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is James. I'm on the number 14 Michelin bus.
Oh.
So I've got an answer to, I think, Ernest P. Bass. Is that the Andy Griffith Show?
It is the Andy Griffith Show. And do you remember who played him?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, it's just, I only ask. It wasn't part of the question, but it was Howie Morris from the Sid Caesar Show.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Good job.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. All right, and you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. It's just me tonight, so we can take as many calls as possible. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. I'm usually here with a couple other people, but tonight it's just me, so give us a call. 866-798-8255 or 415-841-4134. All right, so what do we have left here? All the TV characters have been gotten. We're still looking for some answers to, according to a study done at MIT, the average person forgets 4 things a day. What are the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis? I thought I'd get a lot of calls about this, but... Maybe not. What are the 10 most forgotten things on a daily basis for the average person? And what is the single most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe? Last year, they had 15 million people visit. What is the single most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe? And we also need Captain Crunch's middle name and the name of his ship. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Bill from Daly City.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, I wanted to point out regarding Florence Nightingale, another great 19th century artist, Nellie Melba, named herself after Melbourne, where she was born
oh.
in Australia.
Okay. But she named herself after. She wasn't born with the name.
That's right. That's
okay.
right.
All right.
Okay. As far as things forgotten, Social Security number?
Well, I'll give you a partial bill for that, but that's not one of the lists specifically.
Oh, okay.
But there are there's something that kind of relates to that on there.
Okay, and then most visited place in Europe, Disneyland Paris?
Nope. You're the second person to guess that. I didn't realize that. I've never been to Disneyland Paris, but I never didn't realize that was the... as huge an attraction as it is. But
when
no,
you,
it's not
when
that.
When you land at the Charles de Gaulle Airport, it seems like half the buses that leave go there.
Really? Is that true?
Rather than to Paris.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I think that's me.
It is.
You know, you limited me to 2 answers on the TV shows, and that broke my heart.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm going to get another bell, even though you said they're all gone, because I think Arnold Ziffel was on Petticoat Junction.
Well, Arnold Ziffel was... Oh, you mean he also appeared on Petticoat Junction, is what you're saying.
And then my question for you is,
that's
what is
very
the
possible.
Third leg of the tripod for those three sitcoms based in Hootersville or Pixley or Hootersville, because there's a little hotel called the Shady Wrench at the Junction. So there's a third show that I think Arnold Ziffel was also on, Green Acres and Petticoat Junction, and I don't remember the third one, but I have more. I have forgotten all of the things that I remembered, and they were a cell phone and grocery list and a pocketbook or a wallet.
Well,
and also PIN.
All right. You mean PIN as in pen or PIN, P-I-N?
VIN is vehicle identification number. And PIN is personal identification.
Well, that is correct. There you go. And wallet, that is correct, too. So you got
handbag?
Handbag. I guess that would go with wallet.
Pocketbook. Yeah, cell phone. Grocery list. You know, you make out that list, and then you don't bring it with you.
Yes.
Am I right?
Forgotten grocery items, I'll give that to you, too. There you go.
Yay. I love it. When you're by yourself, I do better.
Well, thank you very much.
But what's the third show?
I don't know. I don't think the third show.
And then there was a third one.
Well, they all would have been produced by the same people, I guess. So
leave it out there. Someone will call. I don't remember it.
I bet the third show didn't run that long. It was probably not.
Well, in relation to what? There was 150 Batmans.
Yeah, right. That's true. All right, we'll leave it out. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? No? Are you there? Hello?
Oh.
Go ahead. You're on.
Okay. Did you get the fourth person for Fred Astaire?
No, not yet.
Is it Rita Hayworth?
It is not Rita Hayworth. She didn't win the Academy Award.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
It really hurt my head, but... Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, yes. Very
something called
good.
Dancing Fool or something?
Dancing Lady.
Dancing Lady, but I'm at peace now.
First, that was Fred Astaire's first dance on screen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. So Fred Astaire danced with four women who won the Academy Award for Best Actress, Ginger Rogers, Joan Fontaine, Joan Crawford, and Audrey Hepburn. If you'd like to give us a call, we have a few minutes left in the show, 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Me?
It's you.
Yes, hello. It's Iwani from Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi, I'm checking in for maybe the Eiffel Tower for the most visited European attraction.
I hate to tell you this, but it's not even in France.
It's not even in France.
No.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, did you get a guess for the most visited place?
Well, we had a few guesses, but they haven't been right yet.
Eiffel Tower?
It is not the Eiffel Tower. It's not in France.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. So again, what is the most single most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe? It is not in France, so don't guess the Eiffel Tower again. I know that's probably that may be the thing that people take the most pictures of. I have no idea. But... I'll give you one other question. Well, we only got a few minutes left. I'll use this next week or when I'm here next. What is the zone of alienation? Tell me what that means. What is the zone of alienation? Okay. It's a geographic place. Okay. What is the zone of alienation? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm Dave in San Francisco.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Okay, well, for a popular place, I'm guessing the Trevi Fountain.
Well, I mean, I was there last year, and it was certainly crowded, but it's not the most crowded. Let's put it that way.
Hell. Oh, hell. Okay. It sure seemed nice. Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Julie in Oakland.
Hi, Julie.
hi. So I have a very obscure kind of question that I just was hoping maybe you could suss out, but it's so interesting I just thought I would try it.
Okay.
So George Washington was preparing for a battle after at Monmouth, New Jersey, I guess, after Valley Forge that winter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they lacked something. His soldiers lacked something that they found in a house where Benjamin Franklin had once lived. What did they find that allowed them to fight on?
So they lacked something, but they found this something in a house.
Yeah,
where
they couldn't. Yeah, they were not going to be able to really fight.
So, but they found this something in a house where Benjamin Franklin once lived.
Yeah, okay. And you could suss it out if you thought about it like he did.
Okay. Is anything to do with printing?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Is it a book?
Well. Yes, so, but it's not a. It's not a book.
A book. Is it?
It's not a book.
Is it? Was it a copy of the Almanac?
No. So let me just tell you, because it's ridiculous. Okay. They found. Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
Unless you want to keep guessing.
No.
That's
go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
They found 2,500 copies of the sermon that this guy had written. Doesn't matter, Gilbert Tennant, whatever, and they used it to plug the muskets. They needed paper to fire their muskets.
Oh.
And they found 2,500 copies of the sermon that he hadn't paid for it, so they kept it.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad it came in use, finally.
Yeah. So. Okay. So I think all my answers that I would have tried were taken. But thanks. You did a great show. You're doing a great show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Nice.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Paul in Berkeley.
Hi, Paul.
I always forget my glasses. Is
well,
that one of them?
That's one of them.
Okay. And is the most visited place the Vatican?
It is not the Vatican.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Tom in Southern California again.
Hi, Thomas.
Is the most visited place Westminster Abbey?
It is not.
Well, is the zone of alienation the 10-foot radius around me?
I hope not.
No, it's the area around Chernobyl.
It is. Very good. Glad you got that. Yes, it's the 19...
Thanks, I finally got a bell.
19-mile area around Chernobyl. Very
awesome.
Good.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. All right. I'm sorry we have to cruise off here. And there were a couple of calls left. I apologize for that. Should I take him? All right, take him. All right, let's go. One call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. For the 10 most forgotten things?
Yes.
I'm looking at a different way. Where I parked.
Yes.
Someone's name. Why I came
yes.
in this room.
Yes.
And what I was going to say.
Yes. at least two of those. Very good.
Okay, great. And how's the Tower of London?
Not the Tower of London.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Tourist destination, the Colosseum in Rome?
It is not the Colosseum, though there were so many people there when I was there. But no, not that.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Okay, time to clean up here. So the most visited tourist attraction in all of Europe, 15 million visitors last year, was the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul. Yes, Istanbul is part of Europe. That is the single most visited attraction in all of Europe, the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul. According to a study done at MIT, the average person forgets four things a day. These are the 10 most forgotten things on the daily basis. Ones we have left, forgot what you went into the room for. People's names when you introduce them. Where you put your pen. Forget what you are looking for online. I certainly do that. And forget where you parked your car. One of our callers just got that. And forget words to songs. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that my Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m.
Dana, a couple other answers.
Oh, yes, Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch's full name, Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch.
Oh, very good.
And his ship, the SS Guppy.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. I'm sorry I forgot about that. Anyway, my great appreciation for you taking the time to tune in and call in. I appreciate it very much. My name is Dana Rodriguez. I'm the moderator of the show. And next time there will be a full panel, I guarantee you. So take care, everybody. Have a great rest of the weekend. And please join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
You can't miss, it's got to be you, brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's got to be this or that.